Threading the Economic Needle. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The man at the helm of the U.S. economy, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, made some unusually direct comments yesterday over a dilemma facing the central bank. How do you deal with inflation and encourage job growth at the same time? The economic problem here is that the cure for one is poison for the other. Nova Sappho has more.
Jerome Powell's comments came at a joint appearance with the heads of the European Central Bank, Bank of England, and Bank of Japan. He said the Fed is facing what he called tension between dealing with high inflation and encouraging job growth. Navigating between those priorities, Powell said, is going to be very challenging over the next couple of years, and he said he was concerned about a clash. In their last policy meeting, Fed officials pointed to persistent high inflation, and some suggested interest rate hikes could begin next year. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The Federal Aviation Administration says it'll soon start rolling out new software at 27 U.S. airports. Software designed to reduce the amount of time planes spend taxiing and idling on the runway, and in turn, reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Planes burn a fair amount of fuel when taxiing down a runway and idling there, waiting to take off. FAA Administrator Steve Dixon says once the new software is in place, it will reduce a lot of that waiting. And
we estimate a savings of more than 7 million gallons of fuel and the elimination of more than 75,000 tons of carbon dioxide emissions every year.
To put that in perspective, though, Dan Rutherford at the International Council on Clean Transportation says
U.S. airlines use about 20 billion gallons of fuel per year. So we are talking about less than 0.1% overall fuel use.
That's partly because U.S. airports are already pretty efficient.
And it points to the need really to fundamental transformational change in aircraft design and then also developing low carbon fuels.
One challenge with the switch to low-carbon fuels, Rutherford says, is that they're much more expensive than fossil fuels, which could mean higher ticket prices for customers. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.4% range, with the Dow future up 140 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.528%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
We're watching one documentary a month for our Econ Extra Credit project, and this month it's Enron, the smartest guys in the room. It's about the accounting scandal and company collapse that started unraveling 20 years ago next month. One part of the Enron story that we're still seeing echoes of today is the company's involvement in the 2000 and 2001 California electricity crisis. That's where energy companies first lobbied the state for deregulation, only to then manipulate energy markets and prompt large-scale blackouts. David Brancaccio spoke with Vijay Vathiswaran, Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist and host of their new podcast, To a Lesser Degree.
When you think Enron, you think creative accounting. But Enron also famous for extracting an estimated $30 billion from the people of California by gaming that state's electricity market. You don't blame Enron for that?
Absolutely. The way that I blame, let's say, Lehman Brothers or any crook that breaks the law. But I would point out that there's more blame to go around than just greedy capitalists seeking, in this case, a form of deregulation, which is what Enron advocated along with other energy companies at the time. The question is, what did the regulators do and the politicians do in response? The rules that were set up in California were dumb rules. If you're a self-interested, greedy energy trading company that's looking for a loophole, which Enron surely was, you see that as opportunity. And they created crazy schemes with names like Get Shorty, where they would round-trip power and drive up prices artificially in order to benefit from that.
Is it that the regulators are just not too swift? I mean, at the same time, they're getting lobbied heavily by industry. So the rules are partially an expression of what industry asked for.
Let's remember, there is no such thing as a free market in energy. When we talk about deregulation, what we're really talking about is a change in the rules to permit more or less competition in different parts of the generation, the transmission, and so on. So what California chose to do was to change some rules, but they did it badly. That's not to say that all market reform has to be bad. The question is, how vigilant are your regulators in watching for predictable behavior by the bandicoots that are the capitalists in the system, in this case, the energy traders? We could look at short sellers, or we could look at Wall Street actors like the Lehman Brothers and say, is the SEC watching? And the answer is yes. The financial regulators in America are very good. They watch. And still, once in a while, they get it wrong.
Do you see any echoes of the California mess all those years ago with what happened in Texas during the sudden cold weather last winter?
I think the right way to compare California and Texas is a market that's gotten its rules wrong. Bear in mind, Texas is not a free market in energy, but they have a more competitive marketplace than some other markets like the northeast of the U.S. They allow prices to spike high in order to send a signal to encourage more generation. In other markets, they encourage companies or reward them for having spare capacity online in case of the weather that comes along once in a century, allegedly, but now we're getting once in 10 years. They didn't encourage the weatherization, for example, even though in Texas they had had previous episodes where the lack of winterization had led to power crises. So in this case, I would say, yeah, regulators did not get the rules right, and they still haven't acted to fix those problems.
Vijay Vaitheswaran is the Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.